of glory land.
Mm. Even before I got the mic on. We're glad that God has watched over us, blessed us to come together again on this, His day, the Lord's day, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Be ready always. So that's what we'll need to do. Be ready always. Of course, we have another song lead in, and both might do that. Make sure we're still awake. God bless. We've come back. We've had the recess time. Left the building. Ate. And prayerfully, you got your nap. And that way you won't have to do it here. Get your nap. But by the grace of God, I don't think I'll be long enough for you to get a good nap. Call your attention to the book of Acts, chapter 2. That's in the New Testament. Acts, chapter 2. The apostles of Jesus. They are in the city of Jerusalem. When we read chapter 1, we see that Jesus gave them specific instructions about going to Jerusalem, because I'm leaving, and wait there until the Father baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. And then you will go and preach my gospel. They followed instructions. They saw Jesus ascend into the sky. And then they traveled to Jerusalem, went into an upper room, and there were some believers who had heard their message prior to the preaching of the full gospel message on the Pentecost day in an upper room. You can take your time and read the activities that occurred in the upper room. But in chapter 2, immediately, chapter 1, the reason that Jesus had told them to go to Jerusalem and wait occurred. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit that will give them all the information on a regular basis to preach God's gospel without addition or subtraction. Immediately, all the apostles, all 12, because they had chosen one to take Judas's place, all of them began to preach the gospel. And it appears that they were in an outside arena because it was a Jewish holiday. There were Jews from different parts of the world that heard these apostles preaching. Jesus, as I said heretofore, had promised Peter to be the one that would preach and complete this, the first gospel sermon on planet Earth. In verse 17, Peter became the chief speaker. And he preached by the power of the Holy Spirit to that motley crowd. Prayerfully, you are with me in Acts chapter 2. Well, I don't want to go back up that high. I want to go to Acts chapter 2, and verses, that is. As Peter preached to that crowd, by the grace of God, everyone was able to hear the message. Because we know that because of what happened after they listened to Peter's preaching of that gospel message. Yea, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy Let's drop down for the sake of time to about verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you, talking about the crowd, now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord saith to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make your foes or your enemies your footstool. Therefore, verse 36, let all the house of Israel know. Not guessing, but for sure. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath done what? Hath made that same Jesus that you are crucified, both Lord and Christ. That motley crowd was shocked when they heard Peter say those words. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Notice the answer of the apostle Peter in verse 38. Then Peter said, how are they preaching? How are they preaching? They are preaching by the power of the Holy Spirit that has come now, fresh from glory. Then Peter said unto them, pray and ask God to come into your life. It's not in there. Not in there. Prayer has nothing to do with becoming a child of God. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be godly sorrowful for your sins, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or this wicked generation. Not everyone. But look at verse 41. Then who? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The making of the Lord's church, the making of a great church, seeing what can be with God's marvelous help. They started with over 3,000 people. Because when we read two chapters over, I believe the Bible says about 5,000 men obeyed the gospel in Jerusalem. When we read this, it's exciting. Reading, knowing what God did in order to have his church established on planet Earth. God did that then, using ordinary men. I believe what God has done, he has the capability of doing for others. What's your title, preacher? You didn't hear it? The making of a great church. What God has done, he can do for others. When we look at this church in the book of Acts, God blessed that church to become a great church. And God has not lost any of his wisdom or his capabilities. What God does for one, he is capable of doing for others of his children. But we must be willing to follow the pattern. We must be willing to follow the pattern. God bless and facilitate. God bless that church. The word is facilitated. That church to become a great church. First church of Christ on planet Earth in Acts chapter 2. Just as God worked in Jerusalem, He can work in Richmond, Virginia. And let me add to that, God is already working in Richmond, Virginia. How diligently He works, how lovingly He works, always lovingly. The extent of His working is how willing are we to let Him do that. How willing are we to have strength, faith, and courage that what God has done, He will do for others. Because that's why He sent His Son to the world. For His gospel to go forth. Preachers preaching His gospel that He might establish the church of Christ all over, everywhere. The church of Christ. Because that's what the apostles did, we must do. What did they do? They preached the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit. We must preach the gospel by the power of reading and studying the Bible. And follow the Bible instead of adding, instead of subtracting. Just do what the Bible says do. Teach what the Bible teaches and let God handle the rest. Let God handle the heart of men and women who hear His preached word. But first, preach His word. No addition or subtraction. The church of Christ that started in Jerusalem can be a church of Christ in Richmond, Virginia. Amen. Amen, church. God is not weaker. He is not weaker. I reiterate, what was done in Jerusalem, it's possible to be done in Richmond, Virginia. The church of Christ that meets at 3201 Sunday Lane, just as God made that early church, God can make this church that meets here as great a church as the one that He blessed to be what it became to be. I believe God is saying to the churches of Christ in general and even to the Church of Christ family at Sandy Lane today, I have certain principles, I have certain irreversible laws in place. Listen carefully, Church of Christ at Sandy Lane. If we are willing to pay the price, if we are willing to follow the example of the first century church, God will open doors. And watch this. God will open doors that we don't know exist.
Amen. Amen.
God sent His Son to do what He did when He came. Choose men that's going to preach my gospel without addition or subtraction. Why would God stop blessing men to know His will, to know His word by studying it, and touching the heart and the church, the gospel can have the same effect on the hearts of men and women? Why? How did you get in the church of Christ? Because you heard the same gospel that the apostles preached on the day of Pentecost. God blessed you to hear the gospel. Whoever taught it to you, He blessed you to have the resolve and the presence of mind to listen carefully and obey the gospel because it was the gospel you can read about in the Bible. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Not a church here and a church there. Everywhere, church. This church, that church. What church shall I become a member of? The Lord only established one church by the preaching of the apostles during the time that they lived and preached the gospel. And he had 12 apostles. It cost 11 apostles their life just for preaching the gospel as the Holy Spirit gave them the words. Only one apostle, John, died a natural death. The Church of Christ at Sandy Lane, if we are willing to pay the price, follow the guidelines, God will open doors. And we don't even know the door is there. Because he sent his son for the whole world to hear his message. He wants us. He wants us as obedient servants of his message. He wants it. Look at the tribulation. Consider the agony, the pain, the suffering of his son Jesus Christ. All for us. Jesus didn't need converting. That's God's son. We're the one. We're human beings. We must have faith and trust God to direct our steps through his doors of opportunity that will lead his church. Let us not forget that. The Church of Christ is the Lord's church. We are just glad that he uses us, yes, sir, in his church. Bless us, first of all, to hear it, believe it, receive it, and obey it. God can do what he did in Jerusalem if we stay the course, do it God's way, and let God have his way. Don't try to alter anything. Don't try to change any message. Just preach what's in the Bible. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and prayer has nothing to do with it for you to become saved. Amen. Why'd you put that in there? Because there are preachers that are preaching, and when people are extending an invitation to whatever they preach, they have the folks to come forward, and they pray a prayer, or the church will pray a prayer for them, the preacher, and then they go on their merry way. We don't have one person that was converted by the apostles that prayed that they might be saved. When we go back to the initial establishment of the Lord's church in Acts chapter 2, they interrupted Peter's sermon because Peter told them at one point, God made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ that you crucified a few days ago. Verse 37 said, when they heard this, they were pricked or shocked in their hearts. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. Peter never mentions prayer. Then Peter said unto them, what? Be godly sorrowful. He used the word repent. For your sins. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission and for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Where do we get this idea that we don't have a relationship with God through prayer in the first century, but all of a sudden, people who are not Christians, who are not servants of God, decide that they want to be saved. And they are told to say a prayer. And the apostles never, guided by the Holy Spirit, told anyone to pray that you might be saved. That's not in the Bible. Qualities of a great church. What is greatness in the sight of God? Let's check the book of Acts for the word. Great. Qualities of a great church in Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. Great power, not manpower, great power was expressed in Pentecost by the apostles preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A great church, when she has the great power, our Lord's church came into existence by the Holy Ghost, by the preaching of, through the preaching of the apostles. There must be great power of the Holy Spirit. What are you saying? There must be great preaching. Period. Don't change it. Don't alter it. Why do we think we need to change what God has said? What God has set in motion? Jesus told his apostles to go to Jerusalem and wait until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. I don't want you going anywhere because I want you to take the right message. Why do we believe that people can obey the altered message and God will save them? We don't have a scripture for that. The making of a great church like no other church. Renew and revive your soul, seeking what can be with God's marvelous help by doing it the way that God has commanded. When we read this, it is exciting in Acts chapter 2. It is exciting knowing what God did for his son's church and his church in the first century. And he can and will do the same thing for his church today. He preached the word. They preached it by the power of the word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible was not written. I preach it by the power of study and prayer. The apostles didn't have to do that. When we look at this church in Jerusalem, in the book of Acts, God blessed that church to become a great church. What God does for one, he can and will do and is capable of doing the same thing. God can do it all over again if we are willing to follow his pattern. God blessed that church and facilitated that church to be a great church, to be one of greatness, church's greatest church that we read about anywhere.
Amen. Yes,
because in Acts chapter, when they were preaching in Acts chapter 2, then we go a few chapters over. Chapter 5, I believe it is. Gospel is being preached by the apostles. And you know what happens? More than 5,000 more, mostly men, were added to the same church. What God has done, he can do it again. But we must believe. When we look at this church in Jerusalem, in the book of Acts, God blessed that church in so many ways because they followed his instructions.
Yes, sir.
God blessed and facilitated that church to become a great church. Matter of fact, one of the greatest churches of Christ, that is. Just as God worked with that church, if we are faithful, committed, dedicated, and doing things his way, hello, that's what God wants to do. That's what he wants to do. He paid a price that we can never pay for the church. The blood of his only son. Why would we think that he doesn't want a great church like the church in Jerusalem? And his son, and he God, paid such a price. Gone from glory for 3 long years. Living down here, son, oft times mistreated, and finally put to death. What God does for one, he'll do for others. Church, all we need to do is to be steadfast in following the biblical pattern.
Yes, sir.
Not just teaching, but living. The teaching, the Word of God. God blessed that, again, reiterated, God blessed and facilitated that church to be a great church, to be one of the greatest churches that we read about. Christianity, greatest church that Christianity has ever known. Just as God worked there, God is not weaker and can do it again. Just as God made that early church a great church, God can make this congregation a greater church. I believe that God is saying to churches of Christ, not only here, but churches of Christ, faithful churches of Christ everywhere, I have certain principles, and if you follow them, I'll do for you what I've done for others. Isn't that good news? Pay the price. Do the job. Whatever it takes. Be willing to abide by God's guidelines. Opportunities. God can open doors that we don't even know exist. But we must be steadfast, unmovable. When I say unmovable, don't change God's gospel. Faithful, powerful, and God can do it again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Church, the only question mark is, I can spell it in two letters. The only question mark is U.S. And I don't mean United States. Is us. Is us. We even have challenges getting folk back on Sunday night. How faithful, how committed, how dedicated. You could come to be a worker or be a worker for the Lord. Listen carefully, Church of Christ at Sandy Lane. If we're willing to pay the price, if we're willing to be steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord, those are door openers for our God to bless us, to walk through and inherit the privilege of sharing the good news of the gospel. I told you, I shared with you once. I've got two other pages. I shared with you, peace. That I had a 3D card. I made the 3D card to give to people, name of the church, address of the church, time of worship on the card, and three questions. You know the question because you've seen the 3D card. The first question was, are you saved? And 95%, what I've been able to permit it to give the card away, the individual of the card, because I tell them I have three questions on the back. If you don't mind, I'd like for you to give me the answers. Number one, are you saved? Number two, what did you do for God to save you? And number three, some of you looked at the card. Who do you know? God saved that way. Who do you know that God saved that way? I have never talked to one person that answered the three questions biblically, especially The last question. Does God save people that way? If you would have, we haven't read that God saved people that way. Why do you believe that you're saved? You told God how to save you? Not in this life. Let us continue to be role models, examples, steadfast, and whatever we do, never consider ourselves to be so haughty and better than someone else. Jesus didn't have that spirit on planet Earth. We are simply glad that God has blessed us to hear His word and have the mindset to believe it, receive it, and to obey it. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Hear, believe, repent of your sins. And be baptized for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins. Sometimes, when you share the gospel with people, the way it's written in the Bible, they may get an attitude. You think you're better than anybody else? No. I'm a member of the church. I don't own the church. I'm a member of the church endeavoring to share the news, the information, with others that they might be saved by gospel, by God. It's not my church. It's God's church. It's not my gospel. It's God's gospel. And we cannot make God save one if we don't do it His way. His way. Jesus chose 12 apostles. 11 of them did not die a natural death. They were killed for preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We endeavor, since God has blessed us to hear His word, believe it, receive it, and obey it, we endeavor to live the life and share it lovingly with others and prayerfully in such a way that the individuals understand that this is not my gospel, this is God's gospel. It's His church. He's the one that does the saving. He's the one that has a heaven. I don't have a heaven. God has it. Church, you've kept me on these. I've got a page. I got a whole another page and a half. But you kept me over here so long. I didn't get to the other. Oh, you said, well, go ahead, Brother Brown. Preach that. You have loved ones who are not members of the body of Christ. And they may share with you that they love the Lord. Study the Bible for yourself. Encourage others to study the Bible for yourself. Because one day you're going to be called off of planet Earth into eternity. And when we read Revelation chapter 20, it gives us some information regarding judgment day, when God will judge the world in righteousness. And about verse 12, it says that we will all be gathered and the books, plural, will be open. What do you mean, books? That's what it says. God keeps a record on everybody. It's going to be open. And we're going to be judged by what's in our book. Because there's another book, singular, that's going to be open. Books, everybody's book, must coincide with the one book that's going to be open at the judgment. This is in your Bible. And the book that's going to be open is the book of life. So you want to make sure to make your calling and election sure. It costs God a tremendous price to provide us with the opportunity and the privilege of becoming his adopted children. Let us say yes to God. You've heard the word of God. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That's it. You hear the word preached? You believe it? Yes. Be godly, repent. Be godly sorrowful for the sinful life that you live. Acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and be buried in water baptism. That's it. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. That's what happened in, I believe it's Acts chapter 5, I think it's chapter 5, but read all of Acts chapters. Know that 5,000 men, approximately 5,000, obeyed after the 3,000 in chapter 2. We must obey the same gospel, same way they did, and be added to the church of Christ. Where are you tonight? You say, I'm glad that God has blessed me to live long enough to hear that message and to know that that's the way it is in the Bible. Repent of your sins. I'm godly sorrowful for the things I've done contrary to the will of God. Confess not your faults, but confess your faith. Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you've ever committed. And you know what? God is so loving. He won't bring it up again. He will adopt you as his child. Add you to his spiritual family, the Church of Christ. We have done what we could to do it God's way and to help you do it God's way. You don't have to leave the building. The water is ready. The baptizer is ready. The only question mark is, are you ready to give your life to Jesus Christ? I've heard the gospel. I believe it. I've repented of my sins. I've got it sorrowful for the things that I've done contrary to the will of God. I acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of my sins and add it to the church that I can read about in the Bible. By name, Church of Christ. Romans 16, 16. Don't play Russian roulette with your soul. You don't know when you may leave planet Earth. So many things are going on. So many things are going on. And I won't mention a number of them that you know about because it makes the newspaper. Brothers and sisters, let's have time for God, those of us who've been blessed to hear his word, believe it, receive it, and obey it. Let's give God some time and ask him to help you to do that, to bless you, to be alert of opportunities that he blesses us on a regular basis to have, to take advantage of them, to share a word, even if it's just to invite the individuals to come and worship with us. Come and worship with us. Because that's the time the gospel will be preached, is being preached. But you don't have to bring them here. You can sit down and talk with them, teach them the gospel, and just bring them here to be baptized. And they be added to the family of God. reiterating, and then we're going to stand. Hear the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. I'm sorry for the sins that I've lived in my lifetime. Then acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All of that is mental. And then be buried in water baptism. If you're not in the body of Christ, you're at this point. Number four. If you believed the gospel, that's where you are. That's how close you are to being in the family of God. And as I said heretofore, the water is ready, the baptizer is ready, the garments are ready. All you need to do is to let that be known. This is your opportunity to do that. Live faithful. Live faithful after baptism. And God called you off the scene of time. The day will come when there will be a Revelation chapter 20, the day of judgment. You want to hear God say those lovely words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up, and I'll bless you to be ruler over many." Isn't that good news? Isn't that what you want to hear? Make your calling and election sure. We don't know when we're going to be called off of planet Earth. The lesson is yours. Let us together stand.
There's a fountain for riches for you and me.
Where are you?
Let us
hasten. Are you saved? If you are in the body, the question is now, are you safe? And you walking with the Lord.
Of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Mm-hmm. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call, tis the fountain open for all.
You may be seated.
Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call, tis a fountain.